broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, that loud. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, Shabbat Shalom and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Morning to some, afternoon to others, but a hearty hello nonetheless. La-di-da-di out there and every other body. Tonight we bring you some scriptures and scuttlebutts here on Holistic Truth. I'm broadcasting live from Blog Talk Radio. It is May 12, 2023, and we're broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. I am your host, Leander Grace. All you MAGA patriots out there, maybe in a nod or two, and some of those on the road, folks, give a great big shout out to you all. It is a very exciting time to be alive and aware and awake and about the business of this one thing, diligently contending for the faith, asking Holy Spirit to continue to guide our battle, knowing we are given only our daily bread and a daily reprieve based upon our spiritual fitness. So going forward, with the full armor of Yahweh Elohim, knowing the battle is won, remember, folks, just like in ancient days, we must show up. Even though we know God's got this, we got to show up, just like always. So Holy Spirit stands waiting to be invited as the Great Awakening continues to accelerate across the face of the earth, and change is upon us. And we'll get to all of those little things. You guys know that the harlot's in the house and the thief is at the door. We're going to get up to some of all those scriptural things. You guys know that we're at war, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, you know, those rulers of the spiritual darkness. Pardon me just one minute. Had a little bit of a cough drop in my throat there, and it seems as though my speech teacher was right. You really shouldn't go on air with a cough drop in your mouth. That just doesn't sound right. Sounded all goobly, didn't it? Okay, so now we're past the goobly part. But it's good to be back on the air with you guys this evening among a network of believers. Believers in Christ, Yeshua called Jesus, HaMashiach Nagid. And that's, you know, that's what this is all about, really, all of it. That we do here on the network, it's all about what's in the scriptures. You know, whether we've had MAGA Monday movie night or whether we're doing Empathic Channel, we're going to talk a little bit about that in detail this evening, or doing scriptures and scuttlebutts or Holistic Truth where we bring it all together and stuff like that. It doesn't matter. It's all about thing. It's all about the one thing. It's about awakening the ancient commitment. The Azoth Duah, that's an archaic word most folks aren't familiar with. It's not necessarily archaic, but it is ancient. And that's what this whole program has been about from day one. And sometimes we've charged forward, and sometimes we've tiptoed lightly, depending on what was going on and who could hear and who could not and where we were at in the phases of the Great Awakening. But I tell you what, it is on full blast now. You just can't stop this. There's just no way. Nothing can stop what's coming. Nothing. And as we move forward in the broadcast, hopefully tonight, now tonight I had every reason to believe that we were going to be talking about Daniel 8:23 and the dark sentences. But God said, no, you know what? We need to revisit some of this stuff again. Talk a little bit more about it, a little bit more compassionately. And paint a picture for the folks to see. See, that's the same thing. It's meme, just radio memes. That's all it is. We're painting a little meme-y thing here on air. Why not? So, and it's all about the gospel of Christ, because about the gospel of Christ is saving everybody. It's the salvation of souls for the kingdom of God. That's what all of this is about. And then there have been bad guys that got their uppityness all up in the uppity and started messing everything up. One thing was breaking after another. Next thing you know, we, the people, are juggling more things after another. We just get worn out and say, gosh, you guys need to handle it. Y'all suck. We get worn out. Well, it might be time to get a second breath, right? Get that second wind, another breath, a regenerating breath, right, as we move forward. Because there's some powerful truths that are going to be coming out. And just like we've been saying it all along in the other episodes for years now, you know, if you think the fake news is bad, wait till you hear about the fake science, the fake geography, the fake astronomy, the fake, just so much fakeness all around that we can't tell up from down, left from right, truth from false sometimes. Because the falseness sounds pretty good. Okay. We got other things to do, right? But that leads to accepting another falsehood and another falsehood. And next thing you know, here we are. And everyone is confused to the point of now we have a legal argument over whether cutting off somebody's pee-pee and testicles and tucking them all up there is enough to actually change their gender. The fact that we're having that conversation on the world stage and some and seriously, not some backroom locker room joke, we're having serious conversations about it. That's how sick this nation, that's how sick society has become. That they're actually entertaining this fantasy that all you have to do is whack a pee-pee and boom, you're a girl. Or insert a pokey thing and you can become a boy. It's a bizarre world. None of it's true. And it has caused a degeneration of thinking. We're going to talk about that this evening. We're going to talk still about the regeneration of the degenerating, right? Those who want to regenerate, they know that they're in a bad spot. They know they're in a bad spot. They know that they've, you know, whatever. Bad spot. Fill in all the blank. And we know that the church wants to welcome those who want to return, but it is so messy, is it not? Regeneration is a messy, messy process. We're going to talk a little bit about that going forward in tonight's broadcast. Pardon me while I go ahead and get a drink, kind of choked, ooh, just on a word or two. Let me go ahead and get a drink here and wet that whistle. Because we're going to be moving forward because change is upon us. Us. It's not just upon us. It's upon us. Whether it is the change itself, recognizing the change, making the change. We can get kind of punny with this if we want. But change is upon us. Within every dimension and layer of change that we as a species and we the people can conceive and on levels and dimensions that we cannot yet imagine, but we are going to try to explain some of those dimensions on this program, maybe not tonight. I thought we were going to go to Daniel 8:23. We are not going to hit Daniel 8:23 yet. We might even have to wait till Wednesday to do that on a different broadcast. But God said, well, cool your jets. We're not there yet. So I thought, okie dokie, we'll just cool the jets. We're not there yet. But we are going to expound on this topic of prodigal moments and prodigal miracles, and do we recognize them? Are we prepared for them? And do we have our sleeves rolled up ready to go? Because regeneration is messy. It just is. The harlot's in the house and the thief is at the door. Okay, so the harlot's in the house. What if you get the harlot out? What does the house still look like? Isn't there some recovery time? I'm using it as an analogy. It doesn't apply scripturally. But it is time to come away from the tents. And those of a Hebrew background and those who study the Hebrew scriptures are very far, very aware of the tents of Korah and what happened to them. So it is time to come away from the tents. Make no mistake. Do not be deceived. We are at war. And we must become equipped because the church is going to be challenged. I'm not talking about the churches that are already apostate unless that's used as a smokescreen for a false precedence to be set. And be looking for that. Be looking for a legal challenge against the church itself, against the Protestant church itself. Be looking for it and be ready for it. And as we started to say, and we were talking about in last week's broadcast, the way to get ready for it is to get the full authority of God behind us. And in order to do that, we have to recognize it. And to do that, we're going to have to start recognizing Sabbath. That's just the way that is. It's been said. We can't win it without the full authority of God. There will be a legal challenge against the church. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, guys, don't resist and don't be afraid. Discovery. Okay, when we get to if the church becomes challenged in the legal setting, and it's happened more than one time, the same way that the adversary challenged Job for no good reason behind Job's back to God's face, we're going to see that again on a larger scale perhaps. Get ready for it. We'll have to get right in order to get ready. And that's out to the ecclesia. So we are not struggling against human beings. Remember that. When we get up to those high places and those rulers and stuff, there's something else living in them shells in some cases, in many cases. We got some extra dimensional beings possessing some things. We have to be aware of that. We are fighting evil. And in order to fight it, we must be prepared. The full armor of God, absolutely, but we must have the full authority. Why is that? Why must we have the full authority? We've been doing okay so far. Well, it's about to get really, really ugly. And I want everybody to remember what it was in Acts. When was it Silas or some other smart aleck decided that he was going to go up against a demon and cast it out? And the demon said to him, he goes, well, I know Peter and I know Paul and I know Jesus, but I don't know you. Attacked the man and overcame the man. And we can go ahead and read that. You can look that little story up. That's a little bit of homework you can do on the side or not. So we must be prepared because these things will occur. And I was just sharing with somebody the other day that I was standing outside a quote-unquote church. It was a very nice building and it had sort of a yard in it, a lawn. But I was standing out there a couple of years ago. This was all about 4 or 5 years ago. And this person, who clearly was not in their right mind, was standing in the doorway and seemed to be having almost start to have a conversation. And I turned and looked at the person, and immediately I could see that there was somebody else living with her, right in there. It was demon-possessed. And as I moved forward, they made an exit into the church. And I'm thinking, well, I must have got that wrong. She's making an exit into the church. Why is she going into the church? And so I said, well, let me just stroll a little bit behind. And by that time, the person that I was with had caught up to me. And I said, did you see that? I said, what? I said, that person just going to the church. Went in through the door, 3 point of sale machines right there at the entry. That's not a church. That's a market. And you know what Jesus said about that? Point of sales inside the temple. Tear that shit up. No wonder the demon could walk in. No wonder. Everything was for sale. These are the laws that we must pay attention to, the spiritual laws that guard the church and the church body from these types of intrusions, these very real physical intrusions. Let me go ahead and clear my throat. That we're going to have to look out for. And we're going to need to be prepared for. Because there's about to be a tail grabbing and a whole bunch of squealing. And the uglies are going to come out. We've already seen it now, and it's not just mental illness. We're seeing demons blabber and chatter and this and that and the other. And it's not all drug-induced, although that has a lot to do with it. And we're seeing it more and more. We're going to see it more and more. And if you're an apostate church, they're going to walk right through that door, right through it. The ones who will have sheltered are the ones who are keeping the word of God. I'm not trying to scare y'all. I'm trying to prepare y'all. It's going to get nasty. It's going to get nasty. You say, well, I thought that there were others. Yeah, I can't get them all. It's going to get nasty. prayer is going to be our biggest advocate, and having safety in numbers is going to be another big advocate, another big plus for us. And I know a lot of people think that the church is going to be spared. And, yeah, the church is going to be spared. We can claim Psalm 91 all day long. But if you are apostate, claim. And it might even get down to everybody's going to need to keep Sabbath corporately in your church because the legal challenge is coming. And, again, I give you as a reference the Passion for Truth pastor Jim Staley. You can find his work on YouTube as well as Walter Weiss. And although I don't agree with the Advent Seventh-day Adventism doctrine and teachings, I do appreciate Walter Weiss' breakdown of the Sabbath as being the mark of God's authority. And we've already let out, everybody knows that the beast is the Vatican and the whole Vatican Church beast system. It has the dragon everywhere. We've known it since the 16th century, as we said last week. The mother of harlots. Same thing. And that mark of her authority is Sunday worship. Who is your mama? And who are you going to serve? Choose this day whom you will serve. If God, then keep Sabbath. If the mother church, the mother of harlots, do what you think you need to do. But she's looking for her daughters to back her up. And her daughters do what she does. Daughter churches. So I'm going to leave that there. And the reason I am is because if we're going to be without excuse, we need to be without, you know, we're going to have to not have anything that we need to be excused for. We don't have an excuse. All the way in the back of the book, here are the patience of the saints. Here are those that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Yeshua. Two things. I leave that there. Leave it for you to decide. Remember, too, as you listen to the broadcast of the podcast pod, people, we love you to question everything, cultivating a Berean mind and a seeker's heart. And yes, we have scripture for that. That is Acts 17:11. There are these in Berea were more nobler than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were true. So don't believe my words that are coming out of my mouth just because these words are coming out of my mouth. Take it upon yourself. Research what you hear so you can own your own experience. Now, it's not everything I say is going to tickle your ears and something's going to get challenged. Y'all might get mad. Just stick around. We'll see if we can bring it together. But of all, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So here we go. Let's go forward. 20 minutes of introduction, but all that was necessary. We do have a lot of false claims going on the world stage. I mean, if they can accuse President Donald J. Trump of, and, you know, I just want to say this. Mr. President, sorry you had to go through that. Some crazy lady making stupid claims that they know aren't true, but they want to get them on something. So more truth's going to come out. And they are not going to like it. So, Mr. President, I'm sorry you had to go through that. Thank you for taking the hits. Thank you for standing tall. Thank you for keep fighting for us and all of that good, yummy stuff. All right, so moving right along. Prodigal moments and prodigal miracles. What are we talking about when we're talking about prodigal moments and prodigal miracles? It's kind of it's a vernacular term used in the church, and I could be able to go to the scriptures and look up the word prodigal, but you can find the prodigal son story in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to, it goes on for a while up to 23, and basically what it was is he squandered everything. We'll just go ahead and says, and he said, a certain man, this is Jesus speaking, he said, and a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of my goods that falls to me, and he divided unto them his living. I said, okay. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey to a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. He partied on, Bogart. Party on, Wayne, right? And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. Timing is everything in God's books, isn't it? And he began to be in want. And when he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, right? And he went and he would many to the fields to feed the swine. He'd start hanging out with one of the countrymen of where he went, and he would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man would give it to him. He was asking for the slop, and nobody would even give him slop to eat. And that's something. And so when he came to himself, in other words, again came to his senses, and what am I doing, right? Came to his senses, he came to himself. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto my father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Isn't that something? He's like, I know even the servants of my father are eating better than that. Even if he gets really mad at me because I squandered everything, maybe I can work for him. Right? Maybe I can at least work for him and eat better than this. So he went and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found. Began to be merry. And his elder son was in the field, and he came and he drew nigh to the house, and he heard the music and dancing, and he called one of his servants and says, What's going on? What's all the things going on? And he says, thy brother's come, and thy father's killed the fatted calf because he's received him safe and sound. And the brother was angry, would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at the time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And that's the story of the prodigal son. You know, Jesus tells another story where, if a shepherd loses one of his sheep, doesn't he leave the 99 and go do whatever he can to find that lost sheep and bring it back? God goes through a lot of trouble to go get what's his that wandered off. He goes through a lot of trouble to gather his own back to himself. Now, we can choose to be the servants of God and welcome those lost sons and daughters that are coming back into the fold. And we can party on, and we can throw a big old party and a barbecue and kill a fatted calf and, have snow cones and ice cream and popcorn, of course. Or we can sit in the corner and say, man, I've been doing all this, and they come in and well, I want to tell you, those who are being regenerated after they've been degenerated, they're not the same as a reprobate mind. A degenerated heart can be regenerated. A reprobate mind is exactly that. It is unchangeable and not for the better. So if Jesus thought, if Yeshua thought so much of the returning of what is lost, that he would make sure that he told the story to his disciples and that it made sure that it got into this book that we could see it. Maybe we should pay attention to how to celebrate the returning of those who have gone astray. Point of salvation? Well, no, not necessarily. And we'll talk about salvation and sanctification on the other side of the break, but just remember, when the prodigals come back, when those who went out and got mucky come back and get ready to hear how bad it is out there, right? It's party time. And there'll be moments for great awe if you have some simple guidance for these newly regenerating hearts that have been out there where it's hard. And they were there because they made bad choices, just like the prodigal son. And they're like, well, man, my dad's servants eat better than I do. Maybe I should return. Maybe I should just go back. And he did. And what a welcome he had. Am I right? Can I get an amen on that? I know you're amen on that stuff right there. That's amen material. It certainly is. And sometimes it's just about being there and listening. And God's regenerating the heart while you listen to these stories. Not for horror's sake, not for inventory or nose snubbing, but for the miracle that was worked in the life of a lost sheep. That's a miracle. I don't care how you slice it. They just need a little water, right? They just need a little cleaning up, a little bit of water, stuff like that. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to listen to a little Carrie Underwood, Something in the Water. I love this song. It is about 4 minutes. Forgive the extended break. But you know what? I think it's worth it. It's Sabbath. We should kick back and take it easy. I am your host, Leanna Grace, broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. This is Scriptures and Scuttlebutts. And we're talking prodigal moments, prodigal miracles, regenerating the degenerated heart. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. And then we're also going to talk about salvation versus sanctification and, you know, little thingies, stuff like that, when we come back. I am your host, Leanna Grace, Carrie Underwood, Something in the Water. Something in the Water. We'll be back. lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, welcome back here to the second portion of Scriptures and Scuttlebutts. We are talking about prodigal moments and prodigal miracles, regenerating the degenerated, and I want to kind of tap dance on that just a little bit. And I also want to tap dance just a little bit, dig into this salvation versus sanctification thing. Now, I want to go ahead and talk just a minute, remind folks what Solomon went through. You say, went through, what do you mean what he did? No, what he went through. You know, he says, God, I want to give wisdom. And he says, okay, because you have wisdom, I'm going to give you the wherewithal to taste everything so that you can get some wisdom. All right, it's not enough to know. There's a wisdom about it. And he didn't do everything perfectly. He didn't walk in the way of the Lord perfectly the way his father did. He did very well, but he blew some of it with the high places, and he did all of those stupid things, and it left a mark. But let's not discount this great figure in history and in the family, right? Ancestor. Because he blew a couple things. We all blew a couple things. He also had a great work of what to, what not to do, and the things he learned the hard way. So keeping that in mind, learning things the hard way, some of these folks that are coming back into the church have learned things the hard way. And it's not really necessary to teach them a lesson, although they are going to need to learn some things. Some things they might have forgotten. That's where humility comes in on the prodigal return. And you'll see it. You'll see it. But if they walk in with the proud look, that's about walking in with the proud look. Like, I've got the rules that you need to learn. No. If they're returning because God tapped them on the shoulder and broke their heart apart and made that change regenerating start, then they have that food, that hunger and that thirst, right? There's a famine in the land, and there's a famine in the land for the Word of God. There's a thirst for the Holy Spirit. And those who know where it is, where they left it, when they walked away and went and got all prodigalated, or qualified for prodigalation, is that even word? Well, that's a word now. We're going to use it. Now they're coming back. They should be with their hat in their hand, the tail between their legs. If they got tails, you might not want to let them in, give them some chow or something like that. But this is a serious time. Making a little humor, but it's a serious time. You know, the change will not be immediate. In fact, some may even wait a little bit before they return to the church walls. Let God do a little work on the outside before they come on into the inside. But they're going to need to unlearn things very quickly. For those of you who are returning to a church body and you want to have a scripturally active church, a scripturally correct church, and not just one that you can say, yeah, I go to church, because those are going away. I'm just saying, I just see it. The apostate churches cannot stand. They're going to go with the daughters will go with the mother. It will just come about. It is the natural course of things, as it were. So there you have that. So we need to be in alignment with all this, need to be ready to receive those who are coming in, and understand that those who are coming back in have been learning over time some things that maybe the body needs to learn once all of the appropriate adjustments and all of that stuff have been made, and they can, you know, conduct themselves properly and get the language right so that they're not cussing in the pews like I almost did the other, I think I did. So, you know, we got to practice getting the language right. All of us do. Putting on a face, it's not a facade. It's not putting on an air. It's cleaning the laundry. And you're going to dress for church. And that means the hair is going to be combed right. You're going to brush your teeth. And if you don't have a comb and you don't have a toothbrush, ask someone at church. There was, there to help. They're not charity. That's not. They're not the local Y. They're not the local charity place. They're where you go to worship. But there's help there too, if you have the right approach. Get the toothbrush. Get yourself cleaned up as much as you can. And be there. And listen. And if you need to cry, do that too. But he does from time to time. Cleansing. Giving it to God right there in the church. Just letting him have it as the preacher preaches. Let God have all the stuff. But there has to be an allowance on both sides. Does there not? There has to be an understanding on both sides. Does there not? Because those coming back have been affected by the world. They've been hurt. They've been burned. Some of them did the hurting. Some of them did the burning. They want some repentance. They're eligible too. God said so. But absolutely try those who say they are apostles. Try them. Watch them. Their fruits will show you who they are. The fruits, their works, what it is they do, how they carry themselves. And you'll know who to trust and who not, because there will be an inundation into the church. Some for good reasons and some for not so good reasons. So there you have that. Regenerating the degenerated. Hold their hand. Listen for a long time sometimes. Or be ready to direct them to places where they can be listened to for a very long time sometimes. All right, so now let's talk about the topic that everyone gets a little goosey about. We're going to talk about it just a little bit because I wanted to open up the phone lines as an option in the last half hour as we go from 9 to 9:30. But for right now, I do want to talk about a point, something that's a big argumentative thingy in the Protestant church itself, and that is salvation versus sanctification. Salvation to salvation, right, versus sanctification. So in the Protestant religion, I'm just going to relay what the Protestant religion says. When I talk about the Protestant religion, I'm talking about that portion of the church that broke away because they knew that the Vatican system was Antichrist. They knew it. So they pulled away, continued with the Sabbath, all of this stuff, and a lot of them lost their lives. So, but they were trying to mirror as much as possible from what they could put together, what they believed the first century Christians were doing. So that was the whole point of it, was returning back to the Protestant Reformation. They protested. They were giving positive testing to the facts that they were presenting. And that's actually the definition of the protest that we don't hear anymore. So salvation versus sanctification. Well, you can, you know, salvation is coming to, well, I'm going to put it in like an official term, coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, of Yeshua, being the Son of God, why he came, what he did, who God is, the fact that he died and he rose again, and he's went to the Father, and he's going to be coming back here and kick some serious ass. Yeah, I said it. I'm a minister. I got a mouth, and sometimes it just pops right on out there, because that's what's going to happen. So the point of salvation is that realization that our souls are not real good without the help of Holy Spirit. We just don't do well. We get degenerate. We do stupid stuff. You know, we have our ego. There's just a lot of mess, fleshly, all of this stuff. But when we invite Christ, the anointed Jesus, the Christ into our heart, Holy Spirit takes over and starts changing our heart, changing our mind, changing our preferences, changing our bodies, regenerating that thing. Now, sometimes when you do that, do you know everything about the scriptures? No. Salvation is a point in time. There are some things that you follow in obedience, like obedience and baptism. And then there's some other things that you, but that's just about it. there are doctrines within churches and stuff like that. They say, you know, some have rules where you can't dance, some have rules we can't drink. You know, those are just rules like Pharisee and Sadducee rules, right? That's not necessarily in the scripture. It's a point of argument that Paul said not to have because it doesn't really matter. Move on. Now, the point of salvation is that trusting time, that time when you see who you are, you're convicted of the stuff that you did, they're yuck. And there's no way you can make it right. You can't. And yet coming to that point of humility and trusting in God through faith in Christ and the miracle of the cross, it's a point of salvation. Your soul becomes saved from further degeneration. Some say hellfire and brimstone. There's just a lot of things, salvation. Okay? But you don't know nothing. You don't know the scriptures if you haven't ever read them. You don't know the significance of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That comes from education and learnification and all of that. But even the learning part, anybody can learn it through the head. It's when the heart starts to change and starts aligning with the lessons and the learning and the plan that's in the scriptures. That becomes a sanctification. You become sanctified into something else. Now, is it an easy process? No, sanctification is always by fire. It is a process over time, most often by fire. You say, well, Leonard Grace, why is there has to be some? Well, because you got to get the impurities out, just like gold. And that's in the scriptures, too. There's an analogy in the scriptures, in the Psalms, also in Proverbs. There's all kinds of gold analogies. We're going to get to that in the beginning. We'll get to the gold analogies as well. But salvation means you got a shot. You know, what is the best way to say that? When you die, your soul doesn't have to die. That's the teaching. So, sanctification is getting all of those impurities out that are still there at the point of salvation. You don't just go poof. Everything's good. No. It's a process. And that's why we have to be patient with each other in this process. Now, it is no different when a degenerated heart returns for regeneration or is becoming regenerated and wants to return for fellowship and to serve community. We must be patient. They don't know everything. They have a lot to unlearn quickly. Or we say, make us in more like God's image. You know, there was a couple of episodes a couple of months ago, you know, when the pleading of the degenerate heart just came out, could not stop it. There's pain in it. There's fear returning to a church for those who have walked away and maybe done some things that they don't want to talk about. But they know where the sanctification is, they know where the salvation is, they know where the love of God is preached. And if maybe they can just be a servant. Is it enough, Ecclesia? Will you let them in? Will you be Jesus? That's a really good song. I don't think I uploaded it. Yeah. It's a really good song. I think I may have to go ahead and find it during this break, play it on the next week. But there's a beautiful song out by Bruce Carroll. Now, it's some years ago. It's 2 decades. It's 20 years old. The name of the title of the song is Who Will Be Jesus? You know, it outlines this whole thing of these people that are in the church. They're having a really hard time. And it's the people that we shy away from, the divorcee, the this, that, the yada, yada. Who's going to be Jesus to these people? You know, and I guess that's the final question that we ask, that this comes all down to, is with the prodigal moments and the prodigal miracles and the regenerating of the degenerate, who's going to be Jesus for them? their point of salvation is not necessarily in question, but the regeneration of their heart is. The regeneration of their spirit, the regeneration of feeling like they belong, part of the family again. That's hard. They have to walk away from the friends that they made on the outside. And their family might disapprove a lot of things. So it's a risk all the way around. But God says everyone is going to move. He told me, he showed me, he goes, everyone is going to move. And everyone's going to be okay. But there will be turmoil in the church. There's going to be a legal challenge to the church. It may not be prolonged, but it will be there. And it's going to feel ugly for a minute. But hang on, because God's got this. And the most righteous thing that we could do, you know, back in the day when Esther was coming up this thing and she knew that her people were going to be attacked, and there wasn't anything to do to stop it, but she was at least able to, you know, have the king was at least able to acquiesce to her to allow the people to fight back. Well, they couldn't just stand up with their egg, with their muffin pans. They had to get ready. So they had to make weapons. They had to get ready to defend themselves. And what do we, Ecclesia, have to defend ourselves except the scriptures? That's what we've got. That's our defense. And if we're not perfect in our defense, we could lose the argument. And I think it was Walter Weiss in his Rekindling the Reformation series when he talked about how there was an argument about the Sabbath. And anyway, it was really good. I can't remember all of the words about it, but it's a really good go-to place for the historical value and the accuracy of the historicity that the group lays. The argument of whether the church is right or wrong rested on the fact that because the Protestant churches were worshiping on Sunday, they had no authority to say anything to the Catholic Church. And that if they wanted to be scripturally correct, then they should worship on the seventh day. That comes out of the Catholic Church's mouth. That comes out of their Bible encyclo thingy boppers. You say, well, Leona Grace, you sound pretty irreverent. Yeah, I'm pretty irreverent towards that thing that has taken over everything and tried to tell itself a vicar on earth, for my goodness. Doing everything but. All right, so there you have that. Just a little bit of an emotional outpouring against Frank giving me a sick headache and everything that is the papal Nicolaitan authority stuff. Just putting it all out there. Make sure all the labels get into the same episode so we know where we're pointing. Got to know where we're pointing. So all in all, with the prodigal moments and the prodigal son, the biggest thing was he didn't even wait. He went out to meet his son with the mercy. He killed the fatted calf. You know, when I was in Vacation Bible School, it was Falls Creek back there the brontosaurus were only able to be tied up on Sundays on the left side of the street. So that tells you a little bit how far back it was. But anyway, there was a song called Shekinah. And it was about this prodigal moment and prodigal miracles that came about. And the chorus went, you know, Shekinah, Shekinah, go kill the fatted calf. And I always remembered that. I mean, that just stuck with me. And so here we are, you know, way past the brontosaurus age, coming up here in 2023, getting ready to reveal some of the things about Daniel 8:23, knowing that we're going to have a legal challenge to the church. We need to become legally correct. Understand that there was a legal challenge in the book of Job. There was a legal challenge of the adversary against Job. Job did nothing wrong. The adversary just thought he'd mess with them a little while. So Yahweh Elohim says, have you considered my servant Job? He's going, yeah, well, I think he's only you. Well, he only loves you because, you know, you protect him. Well, there was a legal challenge right there. So God removed his protection, said you can do everything. Don't, you can't touch him. Can't touch him. So the adversary went about and took everything away, just made total destruction. You can read it. It all visited him in one day. Not once did he sin against God with his mouth. He did not curse God because of what happened. He did not assume that God was being mean. He didn't assume that God was being bad or wicked toward him. He's like, well, God gave it. He can take it. He can do what he needs. That's what happens. And then again, the council comes, and, you know, God says, have you considered my servant Job? And then the adversary who does sit on the council says, yeah, but skin for skin, you know, he only loves you because you have, he has his health. If you challenge his health, you know, and all this, he goes, okay, but you can't kill him. And so all the physical misery comes on Job. And he's, but he doesn't sin against God with his mouth. And you guys know the rest of the story, but the whole premise is there was a legal challenge against God's choice. Now, we know that the Lamb overcomes. We know that Jesus, we know God wins. We know that. But also beware that before we do the finish line, there's more than likely going to be, and I see it, a legal challenge with the Protestant Church. Understand, we've got to come to terms that there's an argument against us, especially since there's 40,000 different denominations in confusion. So how is it that we're going to stick out as being an authoritative Church of God? If we're acting like the mother of all harlots, right? If we're acting like a harlot and the Vatican's our mother and we're worshiping like she does on Sunday, does the legal system have an argument against us as being part of their church? I think so. How do we delineate ourselves from that which we know is apostate? 1 through 10. 1 through 10. All 10 commandments, including the Sabbath, that gives us all of the legal authority that we need. God's authority, Yahweh Elohim, those things in the commandments, that's where his authority is named. We'll win the argument. If we don't, we won't. And the adversary already knows it. And I'm hoping that we can catch up. It's all about the Sabbath at this point. Is it not? Okay, let's move forward. Salvation versus sanctification. We got that, regenerate. Let's go ahead and go over it. Prodigal moments, but it's going to happen. And for all we know, some of the people who are returning into the ecclesia, into the buildings, into the worshiping places, some of them are going to know more than the worshiping places that they walk into, because some of them are going to be walking into apostate churches and they're going to tear them up. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Because God's going to start using some of these regenerated that were degenerated. He's going to start using some of these regenerated folks and put the Holy Spirit in them, put the fire of God in them. And they're going to burn, and they're going to talk, and they're going to set things right, and they're going to talk loudly to the ecclesia about what's wrong. Why? Because God told them, and that's what they're going to do. So we need to be ready. We need to be ready to learn ourselves what it is that God would have us to do, because there will be a legal argument once again against us, just like it was before. How do you prepare for it? Walter Vyth did an amazing job of laying out the arguments during Rekindling the Reformation. I highly recommend it. I'm going to skip the parts that offend you, because some of the stuff that he says I don't agree with, but he hits it. Dealing our Sabbath, because we were doing that here on this continent, and then the Jesuits, and then the Jesuits. Salvation versus sanctification. One is a point in time. It is a decision that is made. Boom, I have decided to follow Jesus, right? I love that song. Versus
the path that we begin to walk and grow into that child of God, grow into a mature Nazarim. And I use the term Nazarim rather than the C word just because that's the word I choose. So I'm going to go ahead and we're going to go to another break, reminding everybody that we do need to be Jesus to these people. Because there was a point when we also had rags on, spiritual rags, all of that. And God didn't require us to have a trophy before we came down and said, I want to follow you. We're not supposed to know what we're doing when we're following him. We're just supposed to follow him. We don't have to have the answers. We're reminded through all the parables. You don't have to have all the answers. Just listen. You don't have to know everybody else's, but just listen. Mercy comes running to us. When we, the father, when he saw his son was approaching, he ran out to meet him. He didn't just say, well, he'll be here in a little bit. You got the vittles ready? He's on his what? No, he went out to meet him. He goes, you do this. I'm going to go get my son. That's what I'm going to do. Mercy went running. And if we do this right, Ecclesia, and if we stay true to the calling of God and those things that he wants us to do, even to the least of these, then everyone will know that mercy comes running. And we can be the accelerant. Philip, Craig, and Dean, we'll be back.
Mercy came running to me.
lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, no, and welcome back here to the last 30 minutes of Scriptures and Scuttlebutts. I am your host, Leander Grace. You know, it's a difficult topic. It seems like it would be an easy topic to talk about, this prodigal moments and prodigal miracles. But understand that on both sides there is fear. On both sides there is hesitancy, because the adversary has attacked both sides. The adversary has made it appear, if I can get this correctly, and I think you guys might agree, has made it appear as though the church hates those people, right? We'll fill in the blank. Whether it's gay people or whether it's what you know, transgender doesn't even exist. That's a big mistake. We'll have to talk about that in another program. It's a misunderstanding of a mystery, and it breaks my heart to watch them work so hard to destroy our children. And we'll be discussing more of that on Empathic Channel, what happens in child, you know, the child age. We'll be talking more about that. But the adversary knows that the younger a child's doubt factor can be increased, the better the odds are that, he'll have a shot at the kid. That's basically it. And we are complacent as a society and haven't seen it. And now we do, and we're moving forward and we're doing things about it. But understand, regeneration is a messy process. So there's a lot of folks that have learned things that they wish they hadn't learned, and it's going to be a while to unlearn them over time. I'm not going to get too many details on it, but if you shatter a child, it takes a bit. It takes a bit. You shatter a teenager, it takes a bit longer. You shatter an adult, you might not get them back. That's where our prayers come. And we've seen a lot of people become shattered by the actions of the adversary, whether it's through human trafficking or the pushing of all of these massive poisonous drugs. Pick one, anyone. You know, and even cannabis now is at risk from becoming poisonous, from highly concentrating the THC way past its natural state. It's a good medicine in its natural state, if used appropriately from its natural state, but the concentrations that's going on, it's not its natural state, and it becomes every bit as a pharmakia, every bit as a pharmacological product when it's refined as anything else. So we need to keep those things in mind and be mature going forward. Not everything is okay. Right? I mean, Paul said, is it lawful for me? Yeah, it's lawful for me to do whatever I want. It's not always good for me to do those things. And I think you'll find that in Ephesians 6, something another. Yeah, everything is lawful for me, but not everything is edifies. Not everything's good for me to do. And this is where discernment of actions, it's not about, ooh, it's a sin. No, it's like what you're doing is going to really harm you down the line. It's concern. And I think sometimes that we mistake a stating of a concern for someone else as an inventory and a you're wrong everywhere. And that's not necessarily what it is. Sometimes it's just a concern that we're stating. So defensiveness, we're going to have to drop a little bit of that. Yes, we've all done wrong. But if we're waiting for someone else to point it out, we're going to be walking around on eggshells or acting like a fiddler on the roof. I watched that last week. It's pretty good. Anyway, so salvation versus sanctification. One is a choice point moment, a point of choice moment. Sanctification occurs over time.
And if there's a lot of soil and a lot of food and a lot of fertilization, it can speed up the process, but it's not going to happen any faster than what God says, or it's not going to happen any slower than what God says. And there are always legal challenges in the heavens on us. Now, I mean, I told you last week, the angels are active. It's like, oh, man, I can't see them yet, but I can feel what there's armies, angelic armies, just waiting to help. Talking about extraterrestrials, that's not what I'm talking about. But ooh, it's getting good. Because first it's going to get tough. It's going to get tough. Now, we've come through a big, long road. And by the way, I did want to let you guys know that the phone lines are open. If you want to call in, feel free to call in. That number is 563-999-3647. That's 563-999-3647. Then you hit the number one on the dial there to let me know. Your little hand raises in the studio there. I know you want to talk. So I do want to remind folks, this long road that we've had with these vaccines and these virus thingies and all of this stuff. Now we've got this mRNA, which is, you know, meant to rewrite our DNA into something else. We need to, again, refocus on why it is the adversary, Eshetan, those dark things, want our DNA. Why? Why is it important? What is it we have? Those who serve the adversary do not have those that are fallen and created by fallen. And you guys know the thing, what we have that they don't have, what's in our DNA that they cannot manufacture. Why is our stuff so important? Let's listen to Greg Braden. Take a minute here.
Our DNA holds a message. I went into one of the oldest and most mysterious spiritual texts, the Sefer Yetzirah, and it's only been translated into English once. Every single alphabet that has ever been known to exist has always had a mysterious number linked to the letter that it represents. When I took the ancient alphabets and I replaced the elements of the DNA with those alphabets, the DNA began to read as you read letters in a sentence in the page upon a book. When we replace those letters with a periodic table and we begin reading the text, the very first sentence in every strand of DNA literally says the words, God eternal within the body.
God eternal within the body. So God's already there. God eternal within the body. We've got something they don't have. We've got what they want. If they can't have it, then they'll destroy it. You say, well, Leanna Grace, that's pretty strong. Well, have we not been paying attention? And I'm going to go ahead and bring it up again here now because it's poignant and very extremely relevant to our conversation. Now, a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago, or whenever I was last on air, you know, I had made a statement that, you know, there was a cause for homosexuality and there is a cure for homosexuality. And yet I don't believe that God would require it. I do believe that those who love the Lord will desire it, but that's between them and God and not for us. And I say that for a reason, because cause, outside of just a choice, there is a cause. And they've been vaccinating different things into our system for a very long time. We've seen the mammary glands of some of our males have been growing, whether they've done anything or not. We've seen these body-shifting things occur. Men are less hairy than they used to be. We've seen these things. Because over the stretch of time, through these vaccinations and all these other things, they've been trying to get to something. Now, I played this once before, and it is 6 minutes, so that's going to only give us 10 minutes left in the broadcast by the time we get to the other side, or something like that anyway. Yeah, just about like that. So, but I do want to go ahead and play it, because I want us to remember that there has been a cause for the degeneration of the mind. there's been a cause for the degeneration of just the mind, but the thinking, and then the mind follows the thinking once a mechanism. And there's a reason why people have been having a hard time thinking clearly. You know, we know that our water supply is messed up. They got pharmaceuticals, all kinds of stuff by action or design. It's just a fact. We have a whole program about it if we want, but it's not really necessary. But I want to remind folks as well that it wasn't but in 2005, I believe it was, in April, in 2005, Bill Gates was briefing our Department of Defense, namely some of the CIA people in it, about a vaccination called a FunVax, FUNDVAX, FunVax. You can Google it. There's information about it. It backs up what I'm telling you. Because what they wanted to do was vaccinate people against an operative or active VMAT2 gene, VMAT, November 2 gene. Because it is the VMAT2 gene, well, they call it the God gene. It is that that allows us, well, you'll have to hear for yourself. Go ahead and play it. This is Bill Gates, 2005, way back then.
Excuse me, on the left over here, we have individuals who are religious fundamentalists, religious fanatics, and this is the expression, RT-PCR, real-time PCR expression of the VMAT2 gene. Over here, we have individuals, let me complete. So over here, we have individuals who are not particularly fundamentalists, not particularly religious, and you can see there's a much reduced expression of this particular gene, the VMAT2 gene. Another evidence that supports our hypothesis for the development of this approach. What you're suggesting here is by
spreading this virus, we're going to eliminate individuals from donning on a bomb vest and going into a market and blowing up the market.
So our hypothesis is that these are fanatical people, that they have overexpression of the VMAT2 gene, and that by vaccinating them against this, we'll eliminate this behavior. So we have some very, very remarkable data in this next slide. Here we have two brain scans. These are fMRIs. These are two different individuals with different levels of expression of VMAT2. On top is an individual who's a religious fanatic, an individual, and we've repeated this numerous times, that has high levels of VMAT2. Now, this individual down here who had low levels of the VMAT2 gene, this individual would self-describe as not particularly religious. In each case, these individuals were read a religious text. This individual lit up the right middle frontal gyrus shown here, and that's a part of the brain that's associated with theory of mind. It's a part of the brain that has to do with intents and beliefs and desires. In marked contrast, here's an individual that supports our hypothesis for the development of this approach. What you're suggesting here is by
spreading this virus, we're going to eliminate individuals from donning on a bomb vest and going into a market and blowing up the market.
So our hypothesis is that these are fanatical people, that they have overexpression of the VMAT2 gene, and that by vaccinating them against this, we'll eliminate this behavior. So we have some very, very remarkable data in this next slide. Here we have two brain scans. These are fMRIs. These are two different individuals with different levels of expression of VMAT2. On top is an individual who's a religious fanatic, an individual, and we've repeated this numerous times, that has high levels of VMAT2. Now, this individual down here who had low levels of the VMAT2 gene, this individual would self-describe as not particularly religious. In each case, these individuals were were read a religious text. This individual lit up the right middle frontal gyrus, shown here, and that's a part of the brain that's associated with theory of mind. It's a part of the brain that has to do with intents and beliefs and desires. In marked contrast, here's an individual who would not particularly self-describe as religious, and when they're read a religious text, what you see is that this part of the brain called the anterior insula lights up. This is a part of the brain that's associated with disgust or displeasure on hearing something.
So you're suggesting I take a CT scan with me when I'm evaluating people to determine whether I put a bullet in their head?
So the data that I'm presenting here supports the concept that we're proposing, and I think that we would not propose to do CT scans or fMRIs on individuals out in the hinterlands of Afghanistan. The virus would immunize against this VMAT2 gene, and that would have the effect that you see here, which is it's essentially to turn a fanatic into a normal person. And we think that will have major effects in the Middle East.
How would you suggest that this is going to be dispersed in aerosol?
Well, so the present plan and the tests that we've done so far have used respiratory viruses, such as flu or rhinoviruses, and we believe that that's a satisfactory way to get the exposure of the largest part of the population. Most of us, of course, have been exposed to both of those viruses. And we're quite confident that this will be a very successful approach.
This is fascinating. What's the name of this proposal?
Yeah, so the name of this project is FunVax, which is the vaccine for religious fundamentalism.
And you have a proposal already?
The proposal has just been submitted, and I think that the data that I have shown you today would support the development of this project, and we think it has great promise.
So there you have that, and you know, he just slipped in there, and we've all been exposed to both of those viruses. He said we've already been exposed to whatever it is that he's talking about. Now, isn't it unbelievable? Isn't it unbelievable that spark that we have that allows us to have a relationship, a personal relationship with the Creator, personal relationship through Christ, they want to destroy that because they can't have it, and they know that it makes us powerful. It just does. Having God on our side makes us powerful. Being able to listen to Him and care about Him and care about this stuff makes us powerful. Makes us force us to be reckoned with just because we don't bow to anyone but God, not to them, no matter what. And so the vaccines that have been going on, I do believe that we're going to find out that there's more than just what we think. There is the parasitical things to take a look at when we're talking about aberrant behaviors. And I am going to say this about that is, yeah, it's not a normal behavior. Homosexuality is not a normal behavior. It's not. Am I going to go down to the morality path of it? No, I'm just going to say it's not normal. And anybody who says, oh, it's just a normal choice, no, it's not. You can't procreate. You can't have a society that gets bigger with those type of relations. You can't be fruitful and multiply with that. So am I homophobic? Nope, not at all. But we have to call things what they are. We have to call them what they are. It's not normal. So if we know it's not normal, let's stop acting like it. Societal, and church, there may be reasons, there may be causes and effects, there's cures. Time, over time, it's a process over time, and a desire. So prayer is in order for all of the folks that have fallen away. Prayer is in order for all of those who are still
not yet in their prodigal moments and their prodigal miracles. Prayer is an order for those who are in the process of regenerating and are still afraid to go into the church house because they don't want those sideways looks, and they're afraid maybe nobody will be Jesus to them because they just need a little bit of that. They need to know that they're not going, you know, that there's no, you don't have more rules for them than God does. Right? Are we going to have to do like that Pharisees and Sadducees and have more rules of behavior that we expect everybody to do certain things a certain way? It's like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Remember, the Sabbath argument was not about whether there was Sabbath or not. It's about how they observed the Sabbath. And Jesus purposely went into the cornfields and did the little kernels. Why? Because there were some that were taking the Sabbath rest so far to the extreme, they would barely get up and defecate. Either extreme is not going to be correct. So he was doing what was lawful to do on the Sabbath day, but they'd already made rules against it, but they weren't God's rules, they were man's rules. So that's what God says, don't, you know, this is enough. Then they made a whole bunch of other rules that made it nearly impossible to please anybody, let alone God. Because they're tiptoeing through all of the eggshells that were laid down by all of the ridiculous rules. So as the regenerating comes back for their prodigal moments, be Jesus to them. Right? And remember, prodigals, what did Jesus say to the woman when she was accused? Aside from the fact he said, neither do I accuse you, there's a comma there, and then the sentence continues, and it says, go and sin no more. Requires a change of behavior. Requires a change of behavior. It just does. Now, am I saying that, you know, but no, I'm talking about we need to act right. Act right. I already left that other subject up behind. I've already brought up the fact that it's by grace are we saved through faith, just like Abraham, and not of our heterosexuality, lest anybody should boast. That's the point that I'm making. And what I'm making to those who are coming back into the church, if you are gay or lesbian, keep that to yourself until maybe you can get over it. That's a whole nother topic. Because there's going to be children around, and they don't want their children to even think about that as an option, and that's their right. You're coming into their church. They owe you nothing. Hopefully they'll be Jesus to them, but we should be humble when you would go in. Be humble. Know that you're returning. They're there. They'll offer grace. You should have humility. We're going to get this down. We're going to get these prodigal moments and prodigal miracles down. We're going to be able to love one another once again. There's no doubt in my mind, but we're going to have to get there. And it's going to take time. None of the change is going to be immediate. So love them where they're at. Be Jesus. And throw a party. Shoot, have a barbecue. You got people coming back to God. That's big. That's like huge. That's like the biggest. Right? Leave the 99. Go get that one. Right. Go get them. We've got churches now that are going out in ministries, knocking on doors. Baptist churches going on ministries, knocking on doors, inviting people into their church. We've got churches now that open up schools so that they know that their kids are offered, there's an offering of church for Christian education where they're going to be teaching creation and not evolution, guarantee it, because this whole evolution thing was all made up. It's a big old lie. It's all made up. And I've covered that before. I think we might cover it again. You know, you can't just have, you don't have nothing and all of a sudden it becomes something. We'll talk about that. That's kind of fun. We'll get there. So that's where we're at. Being Jesus to people, coming back to the church. Being Jesus to people who are in the process of having that relationship with Jesus Christ regenerated. That relationship's being regenerated. You know that means they're going to change. We got to be there for them. Educate them. Sit with them. Listen to them. Educate them. And love them. I am your host, Leander Grace. Hope you found some value in the broadcast or the podcast. Pod people, we love you too. Until next week, guys, I'm just reminding you to, it's been great. I've loved this topic. And next week, we'll be talking about Daniel 8:23. Empathic Channel, I do believe we'll have it on Monday. All God, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. And we'll explain a little bit more about what it is all about when we do the phone-ins and things like that. Until next time, guys, I am your host, Leander Grace, broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert, reminding you to, as always, to watch for those signposts, connect the dots, find your path, live in love, and do something good, because we're going to learn to forgive. Until next time, good night.